Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. We're glad you've joined us for our New Year's programs and our lessons. We hope that 2013 will be a good year for all of us. So let's check out our New Year's resolutions again today. Welcome back, all of you who are listening in, and those of you who are here as panelists today. It's nice for the teachers, all of us, to get together and talk about this year. And have you enjoyed everything so far? This is the second day, Bill.
Yes, I have. Doris, we've already got one day behind us. I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. It's exciting to have a new year here on Advanced.
I can't believe it's 2013 already. It's hard to remember to write that even.
It's true. I had to double-check these pages several times. Does it say 13? It doesn't say 12 anymore, right? It says 13. Yes, we're in a new year.
So, you know, change is a process, and things do change, and we cannot stop change. Change will go on, but we have to take one day at a time, one step at a time, and that's good for all of us to think about as we begin this whole new year that's ahead of us.
Yes, and I was just thinking about how for a lot of the people listening in, this may be your first advanced article. Maybe you decided that now is the time for you to make a switch and try something a little more challenging. And if so, I'm sure you are feeling a little bit overwhelmed at this point. But don't worry. We have a lot of good advice for you about taking small steps. So you can do that in your English learning, in weight loss, in your career, in all kinds of areas of your life.
If you happen to have a Studio Classroom or Advanced magazine with you, we're starting today on page 11. And yesterday we did talk about small steps, doing it slowly. And today we're going to find out that we have to plan in order to do that. Isn't that right, Bill?
Well, yeah, that's a really that's an important second step, Doris. The first thing is people, we get in our mind this great resolution or this goal we wish to accomplish. Okay, fine. You state it and you look at it and you say, I want to aim for this goal or this resolution. Then a lot of people just skip the second step, the plan. All right, what is the plan?
Right.
And it needs to be a reasonable plan.
We have to think about it and plan. So let's look at page 11 and let's read down through line 15 now.
Think and plan. Want to start running? Make sure your clothes are set out before you go to bed. Want to eat more home-cooked meals? Have a grocery list, a menu, and a date to go shopping. Goals should be attainable and pragmatic. If you're not a morning person, Matthews says, don't schedule exercise for 6 a.m. Making small changes can be easier and more rewarding if progress is documented, be it keeping track of food and exercise in a notebook or using smartphone apps or computer programs that track calories, nutrition, and activity. One of the best things people can do is monitor themselves, says Villacorta, who likes apps for their immediate feedback and instant information.
Well, some people like to start running in the morning, and I'm not so sure about that. But if you do want to start that, what is one of the things you have to do?
Well, there's some good advice here about putting your clothes out before you go to bed. Now, remember, we left off yesterday hearing from Marion Jacobs, a psychologist in California, who said that even before you take those first small steps, you need to make a plan. And that's what we're coming into here. So if you want to start running, you have to set out those exercise clothes before you go to bed. And I do this, and it does help, but it doesn't always work.
I know. You were doing this running thing in the morning,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. How do you do that before a cup of coffee?
It's a challenge, Bill. But setting my clothes out the night before does help, because then when I'm trying to turn off my alarm clock, I look over and I see my running shoes and I see my workout gear and I think, okay, I can do this.
Well, the interesting thing is, how did you feel after you ran?
great. My whole day goes better, actually.
I might be a little tired if I started running in the morning.
Well, I kind of knew the answer. I mentioned that to people because, all right, this whole idea of what do you mean, running before I go to work in the office? And actually, I know that it did energize Naomi. And actually, it's a neat thing for people. You can actually energize yourself before work. So you go to work, you feel great. You're not walking into your office thinking, oh, another day of work. Instead, right. Your attitude's improved.
Or walking in still half asleep.
Yeah.
She must be a morning person, you know, who can tell. But be sure that you prepare. And then what if you want to eat more home-cooked meals? Say, I think I'll go home and cook, but then what have I got to eat? So you have to plan that too, don't you?
Definitely. And this is a challenge for me personally. I do like to cook meals at home, but I often don't prepare carefully enough. So you really need to plan something like cooking at home. We see here, have a grocery list, a menu, and a date to go shopping. Maybe every week you'll say, I always do my shopping on Saturday morning. Get it done. Have my list ready. And then you can prepare for the rest of the week.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan. And we did talk about that yesterday as far as when you do plan these meals to – you don't have to make a 12-course gourmet meal like you see on TV. Just keep it simple.
Goals should be attainable, something you can do that's easy to do. And pragmatic. Pragmatic is a very interesting word. We see that a lot in English. It's a good word to know.
Right. So if something is pragmatic, if you are being pragmatic, it means that you're thinking about the practical side of things. You're really focusing on reality. You're not just trying to think of the ideas, the principles, the ideal situation. You're thinking about what is really happening.
And not on emotions or anything like that. Emotions are really very misleading sometimes.
Yeah. And don't look at other people and say, oh, I've got to be like that. For instance, we see here in this next sentence or this quote, if you're not a morning person, Matthew says, don't schedule exercise for 6 a.m. Now, I was just talking about I don't understand how Naomi can go running before coffee in the morning because I'm not a morning person. But I go to the gym at night after work. So I just know that's who I am. And we all exercise and do things at different times.
Right. But to be honest, I'm not much of a morning person either, but I've sort of trained myself. And again, this is where being pragmatic comes in. When I wake up, I can't think about how I feel. I have to just focus on reality. If I exercise, I will feel better later. It doesn't matter that I would rather stay in bed right now. Right. I need to think of the bigger picture.
That's being pragmatic, isn't it?
You're a morning person.
Well, I'm not really a morning person, but I like to get up early because you miss a lot if you sleep too late. But sometimes I have to set one or two alarm clocks. And so I make myself be a morning person, but I'm also a night person. So it's hard to be a morning and a night person. That's a problem. That's my problem. I'm both morning and night person,
Bill. I understand.
I don't like to go to bed too early either. So.
You're burning the candle at both ends.
Ooh, yeah, but I kind of, relax in between, so it doesn't bother me too much. If you don't let things worry you too much, I think you can get through.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time, enjoy it. But you have to make small changes. And if you are going to make these small changes, then you have to kind of keep track of it. I know I've been on diets with friends, and we said, let's not do this and this. But we made ourselves write everything down in a notebook and say, okay, every single thing you eat, write it down. One potato chip, write it down. You document it. And that really helps you a little bit to realize. Really.
Definitely. We talked yesterday about chalking up your success, chalking up little successes. And that's the same idea. You want to keep track. You want to document what you're doing.
You have an iPad, don't you?
I don't. I have an iPod, and I have a couple of programs and notebooks. Actually, I have a few systems for keeping track of my different goals.
Because they have the calorie counter on the iPad.
Yep. And some of my goals are work-related. Some of them are time management-related. Some of them are fitness-related. And so I keep track of them in different ways. But writing down your progress really does help a lot because it helps encourage you and see what you've done.
Yeah, I mentioned going to the gym, and a lot of times people will be at the gym and they'll be carrying around clipboards and they will write down, okay, how many reps did I do on this machine or this equipment or how much time did I spend on the bicycle? And they just do keep track. And then over the course of a couple of months, they can see the progress they made.
So if you have these smartphone apps or other programs, you can track or keep track of them, and not only your calories, but the nutrition, so that you're sure to get enough vegetables and not just how many calories you ate, but that you're eating the right kind of foods.
And activity as well. I use a website like this, and it's really helpful because I can see, you know, did I get too many carbohydrates today? Did I get enough protein today? And I can also see how many minutes of exercise I've done throughout the week. So maybe so far I've done 45, but, you know, I've got a few more days to do some more exercise. Well, and you see your progress.
Well, it sounds to me like Naomi's doing a good job of monitoring herself. Sometimes if you have a group, you get together and you do that. But if you can monitor yourself, then you can keep track better. And some people like to know right away, how have I eaten too much today? You don't wait until you get together with your group. So to monitor yourself isn't bad.
Yeah, we see that there in line 14 and 15. Villacorta likes apps for their immediate feedback and instant information. And one thing I would say is a lot of these apps can help you. You talk about nutrition, and I'm big on people just being aware of, okay, how many like grams of fat or cholesterol are in certain foods, and just know what, just becoming aware of what is in food will then help you take the next step to saying, oh, I've got to cut back on this. Or like you said, the salt levels. A lot of people aren't even aware of these things, so these apps can just do the first thing, raise our awareness level.
Well, and you'll notice that most of the products nowadays have things written on the back to tell you. I used to just go and buy yogurt because yogurt is yogurt. Right. Now I look at it and see, well, does this have a fat? Does it have in it?
Sugar.
And you can look at, there's many kinds of yogurt, so you don't just buy yogurt.
Right.
So if you look at the labels, you'll see which one has more of the fat in it.
Yeah, and like we said, Mr. Villacorta, he likes those apps because they have immediate feedback. They offer instant information, which is very practical because it means throughout the day you can be focusing, you know, am I making the right choices today?
It's easy to lose track of things, too, because we can become busy and we might forget, oh, in the morning I had that mocha latte and this muffin that was really high in fat or that donut.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, we're losing track of it. This will help you. Uh-oh, I can't go overboard too much.
Actually, that would be my top piece of advice. If you're going to keep track of what you eat and the exercise you're getting, keep that notebook or that app with you all the time. Because if you don't, then you'll forget, you know, that one little snack you had or whatever.
So these are things that we can think about. But it can be with everything in your life. To be sure that you have a well-balanced diet, a little time to rest and relax. Even if you work in the evening, take a little time off at first to be with your family or talk to your friends or listen to some music. And you can still do some work later, but don't go right home from the office and start your work immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helps you relax. Don't you think so, Bill?
It does. And so we've got here the information. We've got some of the tools to help us. But I like the next section of our reading, Doris, because we're going to start getting into some of the emotional things, the support from the people that we're around that will help us reach our goals.
Okay, so you might want to read out loud with us as we finish reading on page 11.
Having people in your corner is also important, but choose whom you turn to for encouragement with care. When you backslide, don't beat yourself up and use it as an excuse to throw everything away. Think of change as a week-to-week development, Villacorta suggests. One indulgent meal isn't going to destroy your entire week. You may feel you need to wait till just the right moment to make changes. But the notion that readiness is all important is a myth, Jacobs says. It's unlikely you're going to feel ready to do what you need to do. If you did, you'd have already done it. Get started anyway. Feelings, the ones telling you you can't change, are tough to deny. But you can alter the way you think and behave, Jacobs says. When you start to move forward, even in small steps, your brain starts to say, I can do that. Soon, one walk around the block turns into two, and from there, even a marathon is possible.
I think this is very good caution, very words here at the beginning to have people that you can turn to who are going to encourage you and who really care about you. If they're really in your corner, then they are actually looking out for what's good for you. I wonder about this in your corner. Do you think that came from sports, that term?
It seems to me it came from boxing. When I think about two boxers in the boxing ring, they after each little match, they go back to their corners. And in their corners, they have their coach and they have their team there. And they're giving them water and they're pumping them up. And they're saying, yes, you can do this. They are their support, right?
Yeah, they're helping prepare the boxer for the next round, the next time they have to go back in and fight at it. So it is important to have the right people in your corner.
People build that, for instance, if they eat too much themselves and you're not trying to eat, then they say, oh, come on, you can eat a little more. So they're not really in your corner if they encourage you to eat when you're on a diet. Isn't that right?
That's right. We need to be very careful with who we choose to turn for, for encouragement. And we were talking about it during one of our breaks, and sometimes there are people we are around that are not the best people. They're not going to encourage us. In fact, some people might discourage you from reaching your goals.
Right. Right. You don't need to. You're fine. You know, you're not as fat as everybody else, or you're not, they'll tell you all that. But you have to realize that you have your own goals, and you have to have people who encourage you if your goals are reasonable. Of course, you don't want to make your goals unreasonable and become to the place where it's not good for you either. So you need people who understand what's good for you.
Right. So, for example, if I needed to quit smoking, let's say, I wouldn't ask a smoker to be the one to encourage me. I would ask someone maybe who has quit smoking or someone who has maybe struggled with some other addiction to help be a support to me. But if I'm, if I'm dieting and I have friends who love to bake cookies and they're always like, oh, have another one. Oh, you're doing fine. That's not really going to help me.
Yeah. And right. Likewise, also with weight loss or exercise, right? Talk to somebody that went through this. You can ask them, how did you do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all of us have a tendency to really go back. We backslide. This is kind of a bad word, to backslide. It means you already had attained something, but then you already lost it. I mean, you already were doing fine, but then you started doing it again. That's terrible, the word backslide. It's a bad word.
It's a sad word,
it's
actually.
It's a sad word, right.
But it's helpful for me to actually imagine a slide, like in a playground. And reaching our goals is often like trying to climb up a slide. It's not easy at all, and it is very easy to backslide, to start sliding back down. So we really have to be very persistent, but we will backslide. Everyone does it. Mm-hmm. It happens.
It says here to don't beat yourself up. To beat yourself up is also a very colorful way of expressing it, the way these verbs are. Do you ever beat yourself up, Bill? I do.
Oh, yeah. I've had years of experience of beating myself up. I'm really glad this is in this reading here. Don't beat yourself up. It's really helpful for people to remember. I hear so many people talking bad about themselves. Mm-hmm. If they don't reach a goal, if they didn't score well on a test, if they didn't get something done at work, a promotion, or they didn't make enough money, all sorts of things. People beat themselves up. They're like, oh, I'm a failure. I'm not successful.
I might as well give up.
Yeah, that's beating yourself up.
Mm. Actually, I had a conversation like this just the other day with a friend who's learning English. And she said, oh, I get too nervous to talk to people. I'm just really shy. And I said, no, you're not. I know that you're not shy when you speak in Chinese. So I know that you're not a shy person. I know that you can do it. You need to have confidence. You need to keep trying and just do your best. And don't feel bad when you get stuck, when you forget a word.
Right. So we have to remember if we do backslide that we need our friends to encourage us to keep at it. And then when you think of change, like something day to day or week to week, just if you do backslide once, don't say, well, I might as well give up and just go off my diet. Okay, say I did this, but I'm going to try again. Don't give up. Keep on trying.
Yeah, and we hear here, this is really a good point by Manuel Villacorta, our dietitian, who suggests one indulgent meal isn't going to destroy your entire week. And so we might think, oh, I ate this big chocolate sundae. I backslid on my diet. Well, don't let that ruin everything. Okay, you made a mistake. You can rebound. So, and just put it behind you and then get back on the diet.
Again, I definitely have this tendency where I'll start out the week saying, I'm going to eat healthy every meal. And then one night I go out with friends and we, you know, maybe we have some chips and we have some fried chicken. And then I think, oh, well, I'll just start again next week. But it's only Tuesday. So why don't I just start again tomorrow? It's okay. You know, don't let that one maybe not so healthy situation destroy all your hard work.
If you have your magazine on page 11, you can see that little diagram there. It says to stick to your goals. And there's one person there who made it to the top, and they're very happy. But you can see there's one girl there that evidently did the backsliding thing because she's just giving up, and she's just sitting down there, and everybody else is still working, but she's given up. So you have to stick to your goals. Don't give up so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, those are the steps of progress there that the person is going through. We all have ups and downs through it. And in fact, that's how we get stronger. Maybe backsliding in some ways is kind of a good thing that teaches us a lesson then to not give up.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the fact that you might need to wait until just the right moment to make changes? What about that? Is readiness, it's an all important, but is that a myth that, you know, that you're not going to be ready to do what you need to do? If you did, you'd already have done it. What do you think of that? That's kind of a strange paragraph.
Well, I think there's a key word in that first sentence. You may feel you need to wait till just the right moment. And we have already talked a little bit about this, and we'll keep talking about it. We can't always just follow our feelings. We have to sort of create our feelings.
Be pragmatic.
Right. Be pragmatic. The problem is often we say, well, okay, even this week, maybe you said, well, I'll start in 2013. Well, why did you wait? You know, or maybe you're saying, well, I got off on a bad start yesterday.
Next year.
So next year or even next month. Well, why? Why do you need to wait until some moment? Why don't you just try today?
Yeah, you know, this comes from our tendency to want to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're perfectionists sometimes.
That's true, yeah.
And that keeps us from moving forward because it's, again, it's that all or nothing thing. We're not going to move forward unless it's all just right, just perfect. But there's a good point here that Jacob says as far as this quote that finishes this reading.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's unlikely you're going to feel ready to do whatever you need to do. You're probably never going to feel ready because if you did, you'd have already reached that goal. You'd be done.
Well, and so it says in the next paragraph, you have to get started. So even feelings, like you just said, they're kind of tough to deny, but you can change or alter the way you think and behave. It has something to do with your brain, because if you start doing it, then your brain's going to start saying, yes, you can. So, in other words, train your brain.
Right. And I can tell you from personal experience that it is possible. 5 years ago, if you said, we're going to go climb that mountain, I would have said, I can't do it. I really believed that it was impossible for me to do it. And now I do it regularly. So it is possible to change how you think about yourself and what you're able to do.
Yeah, I find this especially true, Doris, when it does come to exercise and activity. And it's very easy to not do stuff. But instead of thinking or feeling about things, this is talking about doing. Just get out and start moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll find it happens easier.
When I always thought, well, I just can't remember things. Well, boy, bay, don't she? Some people can remember. But then I found out that I could review. If I review things, then I can remember it. I can't just always remember it, but if I go back and review, then by reviewing often different things, then I can remember things more. Review some things in your past, review some of the things where people that you used to know, look over your name lists, review the things you've learned in your lessons. And the more you review, then the more you're going to be able to remember. So your memory can also be spiked up a little bit. Do you get it?
Or sort of like my friend who said she was too shy to speak in English. Well, it only starts with one small conversation.
Right.
And then you can build from there. Then it becomes easier and easier the more you try. And we have one more good example of that in the last paragraph.
Yeah, we see there, soon one walk around the block turns into two, and from there even a marathon is possible.
Or climbing a mountain.
Yes.
Well, first, let me tackle the first sentence, okay? So you just take that first walk. Maybe that's going to take you 10 minutes. You think, oh, that's not no big deal. I'm not going to lose weight doing that. I'm not going to get in shape. But that's just a start, And then maybe by next week you're doing two, no problem. And by the end of the month, three or four times. What do you think about that last sentence?
Even a marathon is possible?
Oh, well, that's pushing it, Bill. Man, take your time, right?
Just remember that if you want to run a marathon, you need to be careful to train correctly and take care of your body.
That's right. And that's true with everything. So look over these goals. Here's some 2013 goals that you might have made these goals about trying to spend more time with your family, lose weight, quit smoking. They're all good goals, but just remember, one step at a time.
And actually, I would suggest that all of us take a pen and try to edit these goals. Try to create them into something that makes sense for you. Maybe spending time with your family is a little bit too general for you. So think about it. Say, okay, well, I want to spend at least 1 hour with my children every day, for example. Or exercise more. Maybe it's going to be something like exercise at least 15 minutes every other day.
Right.
Whatever your specific goal is.
Planning is very important, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd also like to hear from our listeners and see what some of their resolutions are.
Ooh,
so
definitely.
You can go to our Facebook page and let us know what your goals and resolutions are, or go to our website. You can write us a letter at letters@studioclassroom.com.
Mm-hmm. We love to hear from you, and I'm excited to hear how your goals are going. Are you reaching them with those small steps? Have you bitten off more than you can chew? Did you make a really big goal and you're having trouble reaching it? Let us know how you're doing, and maybe we can also help encourage you, and you can encourage us too.
Well, since it's a very important subject in this beginning of the year, we're going to spend one more day talking about achieving these goals, your career-related goals, and any kind of goals that you have. So let's have another day thinking about this important thing about realistic New Year's resolutions. So hang in there one more day and keep at it, and goals are attainable. And we'll see you when we finish the lesson tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
Jayo.
Bye.
Bye.